Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. To have you along today. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is hour two of Live the Promise. And if you just tuned in, you missed my first hour conversation with pastor and author Colin Smith. We talked about the thief on the cross. Remember the thief on the cross that said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, Colin Smith has wrote a biblical narrative on that story, kind of getting inside the life of the thief. And it was just a gripping, wonderful conversation, so worth hearing, and you really hear the gospel loud and clear. And so if you need to hear that, I would love for you to go back and catch the podcast. It'll be up in just a little bit at myfaithradio.com. Well, I stumbled on an article a while back about seven things husbands should stop doing, and also a link, I followed the link, seven things wives should stop doing. Thought it was such good stuff that I connected with Grace, and I said, let's get Mark Merrill on the show and talk about these things. He's got so many of these great articles, we could really have him back once a month and unpack some of these things. So today's show isn't just for husbands, it's for wives too. And wives, do know this. We're going to get Mark back, Lord willing, to talk about seven things wives should stop doing as well. So we're not beating up on husbands. This really is for the purpose of building strength in marriage, because we all slip into some of our bad habits, and this is just plain wisdom. So I'm excited to talk with Mark about this today. Let me not waste another minute and tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Mark Merrill's the founder and president of Family First, a national nonprofit organization dedicated to helping people love their families well. Don't you love that? He hosts the Family Minute with Mark Merrill, a nationally syndicated daily radio program that reaches, listen to this, 5,900,000 listeners every day. And before founding Family First in 1991, he practiced law in Florida for 7 years. He and his wife, Susan, live in Tampa, Florida, and have five children. He's got an influencer page at our website at myfaithradio.com. Mark, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Susie, great to be with you. Thanks for having me. I have followed you for quite some time, and I am really excited to be with you today.
Wow, that's so honored by that. And we love to start out our talks talking scripture, and you picked a passage from Psalm 1. You don't happen to have it in front of you, do you? I've got it, but I think
I have it in my head.
You do? Well, you've got that radio voice, so I'm thinking you should go for it.
Well, it is, it's been my favorite for quite some time, and it's blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whatever he does prospers.
That's impressive. You did that from memory?
Well, when it's your favorite verse, you just memorize it. I can't do that too many other times in the Bible, I'm sorry to say. I need to learn to memorize Scripture a little bit more.
Well, I think this is just powerful. What an amazing passage. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked. I mean, there's so much there. Talk about some of the takeaways of this passage for you that really have marked your own walk, Mark.
Well, I think really what it says to me is let's make sure that our walk matches our talk in all areas of life, and we don't want to walk in the counsel of wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. It basically says, let's do the right thing, let's do things God's way, and let's make sure that we also surround ourselves with other godly people. It's the old iron sharpens iron kind of thing.
Tell me this, if you would. How did you first come to Christ, and then when did you feel the call to jump into family ministry to the point where you're building up marriages and families?
Susie, it was actually at a very young age. I was involved in a youth group at church and saw this old movie called The Thief on the Cross. I remember that evening, and it was that night. Actually, I was just in the quiet of my own bedroom and accepted Christ. But it really wasn't until probably after law school when I really made him the Lord of my life and everything. I had it really, it was interesting because I had been I read the Bible all the way through when I was in high school, and I attended church on a regular basis in high school and college. But boy, I was also having a great time with friends and not doing all the things that would be honoring to God, and made a decision after school at that time that, you know what, either I'm going to make him the Lord of my life or I'm not. And of course, there's no question on what the decision needed to be. And so I made that decision and have been doing my very best to walk with God, walk in love, and walk in truth.
Mm. Wow. Very, very good. Well, I want to talk about this great article, Seven Things Husbands Should Stop Doing. What inspired you to write that? Which came first? Was it the wife's article or the husband's one?
Well, you know, the husbands came first, but actually before that, there's a couple of blogs I had written about what wives want to hear their husbands say and what husbands want to hear their wives say, and literally tens of thousands of people flocked to those blogs, and I was like, whoa, what happened here? So I was thinking, well, we need to do that a little bit more, but maybe we should not only address what we should say and not say, but maybe we should also address what we should be doing and not doing as husbands and wives. And so a lot of times I actually survey my Facebook or Twitter followers and our office staff and others and just find out some of the answers to these kind of questions, and then I put them in the form of a blog.
Excellent. So I, as I mentioned to you before the show, I pulled up your 10 things wives want to hear from their husbands, and we may dig into that in a little bit.
It's a fun one.
I love it. I love it. It's an excellent article. So let's start with the seven things husbands should stop doing. And the first one is stop dishonoring your wife by criticizing her in front of your children or in public. So say more about that one.
Well, this is a tough one for me because I have had for a good part of our marriage a critical spirit, and I am much quicker to criticize than to compliment, Susie. For example, when I get a piece of paper in front of me with a bunch of copy on it, my eye will immediately go to the typo, and it really frustrates our staff because then I don't address how awesome it is and how beautiful it is, but I look at the mistake that's there. In the same way with my wife, I won't see all the incredible things that she does and the incredible woman that she is and how God made her, but my eye goes to those little things, those little mistakes, those little issues that I have problems with, and I can be very, very critical. And so I'm trying to work very, very hard to increase my compliment to criticism ratio.
I love that. And how easy it is for men, because you can tend to be maybe task-oriented, to default into even correcting and redirecting in a way that maybe you don't mean anything by, but it feels diminishing to the wife.
Yeah, it's so easy, I think, for us to do, for me to do, especially when I'm at the office and I'm giving assignments and asking people to do things and checking their work and inspecting things and making sure everything's done well, to change that mindset a little bit when I go home and not thinking that I'm the guy that is just giving out the orders and expecting everything to be just right. And so I have to really put a governor on that and really be very intentional about not doing that. So it's taken many, many years, and I still have not completely kicked that habit.
Have you had any pushback from comments about this step, about not doing this to your wife, from husbands saying, you know, pushing back, saying, you don't know what I live with? I mean, what kind of feedback have you gotten when you've suggested stop dishonoring your wife by criticizing her in front of your kids or in public? What's been the response?
Susie, good question, and it does go both ways. And so we said, you know, ladies and men, gentlemen, we'll make sure the ladies get their turn, and perhaps in a future show. But you definitely hear that over and over again. Well, if she would just do this, then I would do that. Or if he would just do this, then I would do that. And so often we hear this kind of conditional response, and it's really a conditional love. It's if you do this, then I'll do that kind of thing, instead of I'll do this regardless of what you do. It's I'll hug you when you are a prickly porcupine. When those quills are sticking up, I'm going to love you even then, because guess what? When did Christ love us? When we were pretty, kind, sweet, and lovable? Of course not. He loved us when we were ugly, when we were mean, unornery, and when we were dead in our sin. And he loved us no matter what, and that's how we're supposed to love our wives. And it's a tough thing to do. It's very easy for me to say, but it's very tough for me to do.
But don't you think as you're doing these things, the things that you're listing in this article, these are, to me, God's yes for husbands to do for their wives, just as the wife lists that we're going to get to on another show are God's yes for us. I feel like when you in step with something God wants you to do, as hard as it is because the flesh dies hard, Mark, there's a grace in it, too, because it somehow I feel like you're made a little bit more like Christ when it's less of you, more of him, for the sake of building up the relationship and building up the person. What do you say?
Oh, it is. No question about it, Susie. I mean, it's, of course, it's we must become less and Christ must increase in our lives. And really, I am the Romans chapter 7 poster child. Remember when Paul talked about that he does the things he doesn't want to do, doesn't do the things he does want to do, says the things he doesn't want to say, doesn't say the things he does want to say, and who will save me from this body of death, he says. And, of course, who does he say? He says, again, points to Christ. So the only way to deal with these things is to place it before the cross and just ask God by the power of his Holy Spirit to really move in our lives and our heart and mind to change us.
Yeah, one choice at a time. So we're unpacking these seven things husbands should stop doing. That first one, stop dishonoring your wife by criticizing her in front of your kids or in public. Now, the second one is stop comparing your wife to other women. How did you come up with this one? Is this something you heard a lot about from other men?
I will tell you one thing. I've seen it. I've experienced it. And I think just about every couple has experienced it in some way. It may not sound like the same thing it sounded like to me, but it's all very similar. And really, comparison is really, really toxic. It can be very dangerous in a relationship. So, for example, I remember many years ago, we had a wonderful couple that we spent a lot of time with. We went camping with them. We went out to dinner with them. Our kids played together. And my wife would look at them, and I would too, but my wife would look at them and how he was just so sweet to her, his wife, and how she was so sweet to him. And they just had this magical, magical marriage. But guess what? The long story short is, several years later, unfortunately, they went through a very, very nasty and ugly divorce. And it just what it says to us is, look, we don't always see what's behind the curtain. If you pulled back that curtain on people's lives, you would often see something very, very different from what you see on the outside. And especially, Susie, as you and I see it all the time in social media, what do we see in social media? It's usually people's highlight reels of their life, of their marriage, of their parenting. And so things aren't always as they seem to be. And that doesn't mean people don't have awesome marriages and great kids. It just means, you know what, everybody falls short. Everybody falls short of living the life that God wants us to live. And we all are sinners, but we all are saved by the one who is perfect.
Yeah. And the truth is, I don't know who first said this, but if someone once said, if we were all throw our troubles on the table and we saw everybody else's true troubles, we just take our own back because he's given us the grace to carry and navigate our own hardships as hard as they are. And another piece of that too, Mark, is we're all in different chapters. And so it's kind of ridiculous to compare chapters when the story is so much bigger than the current chapter. You know what I mean? We might be in a hard chapter. They might be in a really sweet spot. And you can't sum everything up comparing chapters, can you?
For sure. And sometimes we look at other people and we really judge them and think, gosh, I'm glad I'm not like that. But sometimes if we remember back a few years or back several decades or just yesterday, we really realize that we've been through the same kind of thing or something very similar. And so that's why we really have to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn and identify with other people and encourage them through their challenges.
So, Mark, we got to take a short break in a moment here, but I have a question. I want you to speak to the woman listening who feels the sense of comparison from her husband. Is there anything that she can do because she's noticing that he's maybe sizing her up compared to other women that he sees and maybe admires?
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll do that on the other side. Talking to Mark Merrill, if you've got questions about seven things husbands should stop doing, we want this to be a good, kind, building up conversation. But if you've got questions or comments, we welcome you. We've got a few copies of Mark's book, All Pro Dad, to give away if you get on the air. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with Mark Merrill in a moment.
strengthen my heart.
For tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Mark Merrill about, are you ready? 7 things husbands should stop doing. And I want to preface this with saying that we want to get Mark back on to talk about his article about 7 things wives should stop doing. So this is all for the purpose of building each other up. And so the first one we unpacked in the first segment was stop dishonoring your wife by criticizing her in front of your children or in public. And maybe you don't think you do that. Maybe ask her during a non-conflict time, is this something I do? And I bet you it's right there for her if it is. And let's try to work it out. The second one was stop comparing your wife to other women. And Mark, I said before we move to the third one, I want you just to speak to that woman listening who maybe feels that sense of constant comparison, her to other women by her husband. Is there anything that she can do?
Well, there's a couple of options here for her. First of all, she can go to her husband and say, you know what? I don't like it when you do that. It's degrading, it's humiliating, and you need to stop do that. So that's one approach. The other approach could be talking to him and saying something like, you know, John, when you compare me to that other lady, it makes me feel devalued. It makes me feel like you really don't care about me and that you think other people and other things are more valuable than I am. And I just wanted to share that with you and just kind of leave it at that. Just hear how she feels with him, because if she gets in his face, it's probably not going to work too well.
Good word. Okay, so the third one you say that husbands need to stop doing is this. When your wife tells you about a problem she's having, don't immediately try to solve it. This one is probably hard because I know men are wired to be problem solvers. So explain why that is and then how you, maybe a different approach.
Well, I've certainly got a different approach because I've tried that many times before. And all guys have experienced this, and probably most women have experienced this as well. She comes in and the wife is upset about something that happened during her day or something that's happened at home, and she just wants him to listen. She just wants to pour out her feelings and wants him to identify with her and just encourage her. And, well, she says, she shares it and the issue that she's having with the kids. And then he comes back and says, well, here's what you need to do. First, you need to do this. Second, you need to do this. And third, you need to do this. Is there anything else we need to discuss?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that doesn't ever get us very far. And so I've done that on many occasions, Susie. And what I found with my wife, Susan, is that I just need to ask her when she started sharing something important to her that she was going through or some emotional event. Then I would just say to her, now, honey, do you want just to share this with me and me to listen to you, or do you want me to help you to resolve it? And then she'll give me that answer, and it makes it really easy for me, because a lot of times guys like me are very mechanical, and if our wife tells us something very clearly and very concisely like that and says, here's what I want you to do, then I can do it.
I don't remember which guest it was, Mark, but it makes me sort of chuckle, but I actually do it with my hubby now. But she says to approach your conversations with your husband like this. I want you to be successful in this conversation, so here's what I need from you. I love that.
I love it.
I say that all the time, even to my boss. I want you to be successful so in this conversation, so here's what I need. I love that. But anyway, okay, so the fourth one is stop trying to control your wife. And wives are very, very guilty of doing this too. And we'll address that on another show. And but let's talk about just being our spouse's Holy Spirit, so to speak, and sort of controlling the outcomes.
It is very easy to try to be the junior Holy Spirit to our spouses, but last time I checked, there's only one
Amen.
Holy Spirit, and it's not me.
Amen.
I remember one time meeting with a very close friend of mine, and I was going through a challenging time in my life, and I was sharing with him my fears and my doubts and my frustration about several different things. And he looked me straight in the eye and said, Mark, here's the issue. Many of your struggles boil down to the issue of control. And he said, Mark, as we get older, you have to realize that you're not in control of most things in life, and you never were. You just thought you were. And so that really succinctly addressed the issue for me. I'm really not in control of very much in my life, and I really never was. And as I try to control my life and my wife, basically it's a lack of trust. It's a lack of trust in the sovereignty and the providence of God. It's a lack of trust in my spouse when I'm always trying to control who she is and what she's doing.
Boy, I got to just say a little side note is the world needs more friends like your friend Mark. I mean, godly men need godly men to just be able to say it straight like that. I mean, he's in your corner, but he's saying it straight in a way that's sort of a light bulb for you. I mean, that's wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, no question about it. We all need men who will speak into our lives. And I have a group of several different men, and these are individuals. It's not like four guys I go meet with, which would be a great thing to do. This is individual men in different areas of my life that I actually go to for different things, some on financial matters, some on marriage-related matters, some on raising kids, some on business-related matters. And it's very good to have kind of that counsel of godly men to speak into my life.
Okay, so back to this trying to control your wife. You said, I wanted Susan to be more like me, to think, behave, and do things just like me. But when I saw her becoming more like me, I didn't always like it. So I've learned to let go of the reins and let Susan be the woman, wife, and mother God created her to be. Talk about just the impact on you and on her as you've taken that role more to let God let her be who she is and loosen the reins a little bit. How's that changed you?
Oh, my gosh.
How's it changed her?
What a confession that was. It was so... I was so wanted to control her in the way she acted. I wanted her to be more like me. I wanted her to be that strong, firm, clear, aggressive person, the get things done kind of person. And then when after so many years she started to become like me, I wasn't excited about what I saw. I saw kind of was starting to see a mirror of myself. And it really concerned me and scared me, and I had to go to my wife and confess that and just ask for her forgiveness and really, in a sense, set her emotionally free from that. And after that, I just saw her blossom so much more than she was when she felt like I was under her, she was under my finger, so to speak.
You know, there is something to be said about safety in relationships. To me, that seems to be the core value. If you're safe to be the person God intended you to be, you flourish. If you're not, you just don't. And so I'd love to ask you a little bit more about that. And when we come back to Mark, I want to ask you about control and how it sort of comes from a place of fear and how you can speak to both men and women today who are trying to control things in their home, or maybe today's the day to let go. Talking to Mark Merrill, here's the number if you got a question, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or Susie at myfaithradio.com. More with Mark Merrill in a moment. For tuning in, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Mark Merrill today about seven things husbands should stop doing. And I want to preface this, if you just tuned in, we're going to do another show with Mark on seven things wives should stop doing. It's all for the purpose of building safety in the relationship and strength in the relationship. And just a quick recap, the first thing was stop dishonoring your wife by criticizing her in front of your children or in public. Second is stop comparing your wife to other women. That makes us feel very insecure, I'll just say that. And when your wife tells you about a problem she's having, don't immediately try to solve it. The fourth one we covered before the break was stop trying to control your wife. And Mark, you're talking about that we already have a Holy Spirit and it's not us. Before we move to number five, talk a little bit about the fear that comes behind the control, both for husbands and wives, because we also parent from a place of fear that translates into control. Sometimes it looks like hyper-responsibility and that we care so much, but it really is coming from a place of fear.
It really is, no question about it, coming from that place of fear. If you really think about the things that you try to control, that I try to control, we try to control things with our spouses. We try to control things with our kids. We do so many things to make sure our children, right, are protected and taken care of and are safe in every single way, and thinking that we can protect them from everything that occurs in the world, and we should try to protect them. Yet at the same time, we can't do that. And so we're fearful that they're going to get hurt. We're fearful that we're going to lose them. They're fearful that something will happen to them. But there's nothing we can ultimately do to protect them from everything. And that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in. And when we try to control everything, really that's a lack of trust, as we discussed earlier. It's really a lack of faith in many ways.
Mm. And these are the times and the places where you're made, you know, it makes a believer out of you. It's, you know, if you are a Christ follower and a believer, do you really believe this stuff? I mean, are you not just trusting him for your salvation, but do you believe his promises that are true in these everyday relationship moments, you know? Okay, so go ahead.
And you said something very, very important, that we have got to stand on the promises of God, and we've got to rest in prayer to God. And we've got to just cry out before God, help me in my unbelief, help mm-hmm. me in my lack of trust. And I have done that on many occasions. And I may be a product of my past, and the listeners out there may be products of their past, but none of us are prisoners of our past. God has set us free. He has not given us a new and improved life. He has given us a brand new life. We are brand new, made in the image of God. We are brand new creations. And then I think also about the promises of God, Susie, in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past the age, and then it continues on, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though, listen, he did not know where he was going. He did it by faith, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to have faith in God that he's going to see us through, that he's going to protect us, that he's going to protect our spouse, our children, and he will always be with us, that he will never leave us or forsake us.
Such good words. As you're talking, Mark, I'm thinking of also that passage. I think it's 1 Peter, but it says, he has given us these very great and precious promises. Why? So that we can participate in the divine nature. And I just know from my travels and conferences and even my own tendencies in some of the harder years past in marriage, where we grovel it out in marriage as if we don't have a God in heaven and promises that are ours for the taking. But when you start to engage your faith in the promises in a very practical way, you participate in the divine nature. I mean, truly, what would be an otherwise earthbound relationship destined towards our fleshly tendencies, when you start to really engage your faith to go, you know what, I am a kingdom person. I'm going to look at this marriage and this person from a kingdom perspective. I'm going to lay hold of these kingdom promises for my marriage. I mean, it is really a supernatural proposition, isn't it?
It really is, and we are heirs to a king.
That's
right. We need to start acting like we're heirs to the king.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 877-933-2484. If you've got questions or comments, 877-933-2484. We've got an anonymous caller calling in from Duluth, Minnesota, with a question for you today. Mark, welcome. You're on the air with Mark Merrill.
Hi. Thank you, Susie, and good to hear both of you on this discussion today. Thank you, Mark. I just have a quick question. I came in late on the program. The seven things I've had, one of them happened to me twice, where my husband looked at me one day and just said, why can't you be more like his brother's wife? Mm. I won't say her name. And I just felt like I was kicked in the gut, and I didn't understand that question. He didn't expound on it much, but then about a couple months later, he said, why are you so much like your mother? And I haven't recovered from that. And I'm sorry to say that it happened probably over a year and a half ago. And how do I move forward?
Mm. Well, that's a challenging question. And you know, it sounds like what occurred is he said, why can't you be more like so-and-so, and why can't you be less like your mother? And, you know, obviously that's very critical. We know that already, and that hurt you deeply. And I think it's very, very important for you to address this with your husband. And more, and when I address questions like this, I like to really ask questions to get to the answer instead of lecturing the person or getting in their face. So maybe you could just ask him, tell me what you meant by that. And then you can also share with him how that made you feel. But I think it is very, very important that you do address it with him and not just keep it inside.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, friend calling today, word pictures, I think, or even comparative analogies, I think, help. So putting when you're not fighting but sitting down to talk with him, putting it in a context that maybe he'd understand. I want you to just imagine if your boss came to you and said this to you and kind of lay out a scenario. I mean, don't you think sometimes word pictures like that, Mark, help a little bit understand so that it's more in the context that he could understand?
Well, I couldn't have said that better, Susie. No question about it. Put it in word pictures that he understands and think about what are the things that he likes to do? Is it sports related? Is it work related? Other things? And perhaps use an analogy of what he likes to do and put it in that context so he can really understand it. And that way, the light may shine on the issue a little bit brighter for him.
Mm, very good. Thanks for that call. You're going to get a copy of All Pro Dad. And if that one doesn't apply to your situation, give it to a friend. It's a great book. 877-933-2484. Now, here's one that's probably a hot button topic for some listening today. Step 5 of the 7 things that husbands need to stop doing. This one, you say, stop being passive when it comes to disciplining and training your kids. Tell me where that came from. And I've again heard this from wives, so I think they're probably breathing a sigh of relief to hear it. But talk about how you came upon that one.
Well, time and time again, I've heard so many ladies talk about how they are the disciplinarian of the family, and they're the ones that are always taking care of the kids and training the kids, and that the dad is the protector and the provider, which he should be, but he also needs to be the participant and not the spectator. So speaking of a word picture, as fathers, we are not just spectators in the stadium watching mom on the field running around with the kids. We're to be participants as men, and parenting is a team sport, and we have to recognize that we need to be on the same team as our spouse. And too many men are really very passive and allow their wife to do all the disciplining.
Do you feel like that's because we are so relationally engaged that men probably feel like they're failing before they even start, so they hardly engage?
I think so, and sometimes I think a man will say, think to himself that his job is a lot easier in the workplace than it is at home. It's hard for us men to be dads. It doesn't necessarily come naturally, and many men are not taught what it means to be a godly husband and a godly father, and so we don't feel like that we have the equipment that we need to be the kind of dads that God called us to be. And that doesn't mean we don't want to be. We just don't feel like we have the equipment to do that. And that's really why we have All Pro Dad, is to give guys the practical tools they need to be the best dads and the best godly husbands that they can be.
And, you know, we'll again address wives another day, but a side word about wives is we've got to give room for dads to relate to kids the dad way, and because it's going to look different than the mom way.
And allow your husband, mm-hmm. give him the freedom to fail. Let
exactly.
him take care of the kids, and if he doesn't do it exactly like you want it, allow him to do it his way. And he'll ask you if he needs help, but otherwise, trust his judgment, allow him to do that, respect his abilities, because I think a lot of times men will feel like, you know what, I'm never going to do this thing right for my wife, mm-hmm. and so they don't even try.
Yeah, we got to get some room. I remember when I was writing my book, Growing Grateful Kids, and talking about the chapter about playing, how playing with our kids is actually an act of faith, because you're saying, you know, more rests on God's shoulders than on mine, and I'm going to engage with you today. So as I'm writing it, I asked my youngest son, who at that point was in high school, I said, honey, what was one of your favorite things, you know, memories of how we played? Oh, for sure. He said it was the pillow game with Dad. And I said, remind me again? And oh, my goodness, I cringed when I thought of it. But he says, yeah, the brothers and I, we raised these 3 boys together. We'd run across the living room. Dad would gun a pillow at our feet to see who he could take out. And he said, we go flying. My favorite game ever. That's my favorite memory as a child. And I'm like, oh, okay.
And how many moms would say, there is no way I'm going to let my husband do that with my kids. But guess what? They're still alive and they're still doing
totally.
Well, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I think the game's illegal now, but I'm glad it's a happy memory for you back then. Oh, my word. But the thing is, you know, dads are going to relate to their kids different than the moms are. Just the way it is.
No question about it.
Yeah. So James writes in, aside from Mark's book, what are some key passages in Scripture I can refer to for guidance and to encourage other husbands out there? I know you referenced the Psalm 1, but are there any key passages for you, Mark, just that remind you to be the man, the husband, the father God's called you to be?
Well, one of my favorite other passages is in Joshua chapter 1. This is after God passes the mantle of authority from Moses to Joshua. And God charges him. He says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, because the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So we just need to encourage other men to be courageous and to stand up and stand strong and to be the man that God has called you to be. And there are so many forces that are working against that in our world today. But we need to be different. We need to stand up and stand out in the crowd.
Really good. Okay, the sixth one, we're walking through a list of seven things husbands need to stop doing. And again, we're going to do this again if Mark will grace us again, and we'll talk about the seven things wives need to stop doing. But here's
we have
the
to keep saying that so the men
yes.
don't hang up
or
stop listening.
Exactly.
Right now.
We've got lots of men listening, Mark, and I want you to know I am so not a male basher. I think I honor men. I just think we need you to be built up and strong, and we need to be built up and strong. And people who listen often enough know that, but I just want to make sure.
Yeah, men, don't worry. We're going to get on it next
time. Yeah, man,
time.
We are. We're in for it, I'm just saying. Okay, so the sixth, the sixth thing on the list is don't be alone with any woman who's not your wife or related to you. Say a word about that.
Well, this is an easy one. Guys, you know, lead us not into temptation. Mm-hmm. We just have to stay away from temptation when it comes our way. Of course, Scripture tells us we're supposed to flee. In fact, just today at lunchtime, I had this scenario come up. There's going to be three of us from my office, a young lady and another guy, and we're going to do another radio interview actually in a city next door, and the guy had to cancel. He couldn't go, and so it was me and this other young lady. And I went into my wife's office, and I have to tell you, I asked her, I said, you know what, this is what happened. Should we take two cars or should I go on my own? And she said very simply to me, well, what have you told everyone else to do? Well, with that, I knew my answer, and so we took separate cars. It sounds like that's crazy. We mm-hmm. only drove 20 minutes, but we drove separate cars. And so we've got to make sure that we put that wall up to make sure that we are protected and don't put ourselves in harm's way or in the way of even potential temptation or the perception of impropriety.
Well, I so appreciate you even modeling that. Appreciate that so much. When we come back, we'll talk about the final, the seventh, and it's stop feeding your sexual desires from any source other than your wife. And we're also going to take a look at the 10 things wives really want to hear from their husbands. So more great content with Mark Merrill. Your last chance to get a call, and if you've got a question for him, feel free to call anonymously 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. Picture yourself on a cycle with that Jeremy Camp song on, High Tension, and you're climbing a hill and you're sweating. Doesn't that just sound like a blast? I can't wait to get on my bike. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Mark Merrill today about seven things husbands should stop doing. Okay, so I'm going to walk through them. We're on our number seven. But the first one is stop dishonoring your wife by criticizing her in front of your children or in public. And before you get defensive, just stop doing it and see what happens to her heart. Second is stop comparing her to other women. That kills us when that happens. When your wife tells you about a problem she's having, Don't try to immediately solve it. Stop trying to control your wife. One thing Mark says is there's already a Holy Spirit, and we aren't it. And all right, number five, stop being passive when it comes to disciplining your kids. And then six, don't be alone with any woman who's not your wife or related to you. Now, finally, here we go, Mark. Stop feeding your sexual desires from any source other than your wife. And I noticed even on the article online, you had some guys pushing back going, yeah, but what if, what if, what if? But I want you to unpack this one for us because we know this is an area that's a great struggle for many couples.
No question. It is a big, big struggle for a lot of couples and a lot of men. And we have to start with the premise that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Scripture tells us very clearly that. So what does that mean? Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells in us. And so we want to make sure that we keep ourselves pure in every way so that we can be a clean vessel to be used for God's purposes. And so whether it's flirting with another woman, even dabbling with pornography, looking at that new Sports Illustrated swimsuit magazine or anything else that could take our minds, our hearts, or our bodies, even potentially away from our wife, we need to make sure that we flee from any kind of temptation like that. And we're all susceptible from it.
So what do you say to that guy listening today saying you don't know what it's like at home and, you know, our sexual relationship is almost non-existent? Of course, that's evidence of maybe a deeper problem, but it's easy to justify a means to an end. And so what advice would you give to that man listening today?
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Susie. The issue of the lack of sexual intimacy in that relationship is very much a symptom rather than the underlying cause. Yes, there could be a physical cause with the husband or wife that, of course, needs to be addressed. But more than likely, there's an emotional cause. And that emotional cause may be more likely come from the wife's side because, of course, as men, and I think all of us would agree that men, it's a little bit easier to overlook the lack of emotional intimacy in the relationship. But for a woman, we all know that that is absolutely so important. So she may feel very distant. She may feel that her spirit has been squashed. There are a number of things that could make her feel unsafe in the relationship. And so that's where it's going to be very important, guys. I hate to tell you this, but you've got the responsibility to go to her and start addressing these issues. Tell, you know, just ask her those questions. Why do you think this is? What have I done? What do I need to do to make things better?
And let me tell you, I've said it on the show plenty of times. Guys, we are not hard to sweep off our feet. I'm just saying. We're really not. I mean, when we feel protected, tended to, cared for, consistently, you know, connected with, it's amazing what it does for our heart. And you give some advice here in these 10 things wives want to hear from their husbands. We literally have about 5 minutes to unpack them, but I think we can. So the first one is thanks for all you do for our family. Talk about why that matters so much to us as women.
Well, she wants to feel appreciated, that her work is not in vain, that you take it for granted. She wants to know that you recognize what she's doing. And so by just saying, thanks for all you do for our family, that will mean the world to her.
Mm. And you're a great mom and wife. Same thing.
If you really want to make her day, get her fired up. You are saying more than just thanks. You are praising her for doing her most important job well. Mm-hmm. You are saying you are a great mom and wife.
And it's a job that costs her. So you want to feel like you're not pouring it into this, you know, empty hole. It's like you want to know that it's paying off and that it's making a difference. And wow, here's one that's, oh, yes, this is a big one. Let me do that for you.
This is just saying, you know, honey, I recognize that you have had a hard day. You are going through some struggles. And by saying that, that's saying, I'm with you. I'm behind you. I'm on your team. And we're going to do this together. So it's really validating her. It's reinforcing her and showing your love to her.
Okay. And this one, I love you so much. And it's not just I love you, but it's I love you so much. Talk about that.
Well, I love you so much. It's just not saying, hey, love you. Mm. It's just looking her in the eye and saying, I love you so much just because you're my wife, just because of who you are, not because of what you do. That will mean so much to her. And there's a lot of guys out there saying the old, well, I told her I loved her when I first got married, and I'll let her know when that changes.
Oh, we love that.
Yeah, say it every day. I tell my wife I love her every day, and I haven't missed in 26 years.
Way to go. How about this one? You are beautiful.
By the way, there are some nights when I don't want to say it, and I say it anyway. Mm. I love you, but I sure as heck don't like you right now.
Hey, at least you said you loved you so much. Okay, how about the you are beautiful?
You're beautiful. Well, the movie Cinderella just came out, right? And this is not an endorsement for the movie, but basically she wants to know that she's your princess still, no matter how old she is. She wants to know that she is, that you see her as being absolutely beautiful. Beautiful on the outside and beautiful on the inside. Why? Because she's your wife. Because she is created in the image of God. Mm. She is heir to the king. She is a princess.
That's right. Oh, that's good. Let me watch the kids. That's one thing we love to hear.
Who? Let me. And what is he not supposed to say, Susie? He's not supposed to say, oh, I have to babysit again?
Mm, we love that
one. Oh, that can kill a wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? There's a lot of guys that feel like, oh, well, that's the wife's job to take care and watch the kids. But for a husband just to say, honey, you've had a rough time. I want you to recharge your batteries. Go out with your friends or go to the store or do whatever you'd like to do. I'm going to hang out with the kids and you just do whatever you'd like to do. That'll really be an encouragement to her.
Yep. Let's go out tonight.
Hey, that's just saying I'm going to be in charge of this date night. You don't need to do anything. I'll make all the arrangements, and I might even get a little bit creative and have a good time without expecting anything in return.
Wow, that's a huge one. Okay, I'm sorry you had a hard, frustrating, or disappointing day.
Really, that's just the identification. It's empathizing with her and identifying with her so that she knows that you care.
Excellent. Number 9, I would marry you all over again.
Any wife would love that one. I mean,
kidding.
That's basically saying, you know, I can't think of anyone else that I'd rather be married to than you.
That's
that
excellent.
You value her immensely.
Okay, this last one, number 10, you have to be ready for the answer, too, but I love it. How can I be a better husband to you?
I remember sharing this when I was speaking one time, and a guy actually did that to his wife, and she just burst into tears. I mean, it will put a smile on her face like you've never seen before. And some wives might actually go into a coma or go into shock because they've never heard their husband say something like that. But again, as you mentioned, before you ask the tough question, you got to be ready for a tough answer without being defensive.
This has been great, and I appreciate it, Mark, so much. And we are going to just send you a note and an invite, see if we can get you back next month to talk about 7 things women should stop doing and even 10 things men love to hear from their wives. If that works for you, please come back. And
let's do it. Thanks,
okay.
Susie. Appreciate you.
So before you hang up, sir, would you mind praying for that guy today who's listening, who's realizing I've got to push a reset button in my marriage? Some of these things are speaking to me. Would you pray for that guy?
Sure. Father, we do come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, we know all of us need you. All of us need help. All of us need to trust you more. And Father, I pray for that man out there who is struggling in this area with his wife, whatever the struggle might be, is Father, you are with him. You are there. You will never leave him or forsake him. I pray your awesome hand as the great physician, you would heal his heart, his soul, and his mind, and his wives as well. And that you would move in a mighty way by the power of your Holy Spirit to make him the man that God, you have created him to be, and to make him the husband that you've created him to be, and help him to follow you in all his ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mark Merrill, God bless you. Give us your website for people who want to find you today.
Well, they can find me right at markmerrill.com.
Okay, markmerrill.com. Until next month, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's program up on our website in just a little bit, myfaithradio.com. We are on week 4 of Commit to Live Fit. It's still not too late to join for free. You'll find it on the homepage at our website, myfaithradio.com. We'll meet you back here next time.